Hello, friends. We're going to continue now with telepathy and the etheric vehicle video commentary. Today is the 27th of October, 2021, and we're on program 13, and we're on page 37. This will be a short program because I have the triangles work coming up. So let's see what DK says here as kind of a segue. We are building a thought form. Okay. And we can participate even now in the bridging work that is to build this thought form so that about 400 years from now, telepathy is a perfectly natural way of understanding and proceeding. Yeah, this will accustom now the race, as DK says here, to the idea of telepathic work. And this work, he says, is proceeding apace, rapidly, I guess. And going on with his words, and the seed of this development is becoming very vital and powerful and germinating with real rapidity. And then this very powerful statement, this seed of telepathic work, it is in the last analysis, the seed of masterhood. A number of times in his writings, he says, well, do this, follow this, and you shall become an adept. In Cosmic Fire, rather, A Treatise on White Magic, page 473, he basically says, follow the 15 injunctions I'm giving you now, and you will become an adept. Here he says, develop the naturalness of telepathy, and it will be the seed of masterhood. Now, none of us is immediately interested in becoming a master. There are so many other things ahead of us at the moment that we have to secure, that we have to anchor before we can really think about becoming a true adept. It would only be ambition on our part that would force the idea that we are that within our range of possibility is the immediate possibility of becoming a master. That is not so. The great majority of DK's very earnest students, that majority is at the stage of Chela in the light, and then accepted discipleship lies ahead for some, and eventually the beginning of the glorification process is made available at the transfiguration. But mastership still lies a good deal ahead. When you see and understand what it is that Master DK really knows, you understand that it is quite an extraordinary wealth of knowledge that he possesses, and that he delivers it to us in a very detailed and organized manner. And we have quite enough at our stage to keep up with what is given. Nevertheless, this seed of telepathic work to germinate in the next 400 years or so is, in the last analysis, the seed of masterhood. And that is how the masters work, telepathically, to a great extent, working with the soul of their chalice. Sometimes DK asks, when writing letters to his students, do you realize how I have helped you? How I have, behind the scenes, strengthened you in your hours of great fatigue? And, well, maybe the Chela does realize, and in many ways, most probably not. The kind of help that they record as receiving comes largely through the letters that Alice Bailey made available to them. But as far as those subjective interventions on the part of Master DK, well, maybe they went unnoticed. Now, we did reach Program 13. And each little section brings us something new. This section is on group telepathic work, and maybe later this evening, I always hope that after doing a Triangles broadcast or a reappearance of the Christ broadcast, that I will have the time and the stamina to continue with this work on telepathy and the etheric vehicle. I have not, up to this point in my long study of the Tibetans' work, gone into such detail as I find myself going into now with regard to this particular book. So what does he say? I shall now take up with you the subject of united group telepathic work, its possibilities, and the present opportunity, touching upon the dangers involved and the responsibility which will rest upon your shoulders and upon those of all disciples who may attempt to work in this way. Maybe does it surprise us that dangers are involved here? Maybe it surprises me a little bit, but if I think about it more carefully, it begins to make sense. Now, there are some injunctions, and he wants us to follow these three injunctions. They are each paragraph is fairly long. So, as I say, I don't know how far I will get with this, but basically I have to seize every moment that may be available, and I know I could do better with time. The mastery of time is something with which each true initiate manages and allows them to get done in a short space of time, that which others can do far more slowly. Well, I'm still in the place of doing far more slowly than might otherwise be the case. So, okay, you need to bear in mind so many instructions, the following three injunctions. Sometimes we may wonder, how in the world do we manage all this, to understand all this, to apply all that he has given? But I may say that a little at a time will net us the necessary fruits of patience. So the first of the, well, what I'm going to do is make this a little bit bigger. First of the three injunctions. Oh, such an emphasis on love. It is essential that you acquire facility in tuning in on each other with deepest love and understanding. May I add, the second ray is the ray of loving understanding, that you develop impersonality, so that when a brother tunes in on a weakness or strength, upon a mistake or a right attitude, it evokes from you no slightest reaction that could upset the harmony of the group. So he's asking us to respond, but not to react in such a way as a division comes to the necessary harmony of the group. He goes on to say that you cultivate a love which will ever seek to strengthen and to help, and a power to supplement or complement each other, which will be of use in balancing the group as a working unit under spiritual impression. I'm going to put that all under the blue of, or the indigo of the second ray. With the deepest love, facility, that means ease, okay? Facility in tuning in on each other with deepest love and understanding. Well, I'm sure we all can improve in that matter. With our group, brothers and sisters, our fellow Chelas of the Tibetan. And let's see, maybe, you know, I'm reviewing here, that you develop impersonality to prevent reaction when a brother tunes in on not only a weakness of yours or mine, but a strength. It's possible to begin to gloat over the recognition of a strength and thereby disrupt the desirable flow within the group process. See, so either way, whether it's a weakness, a strength, or a mistake, or a right attitude, it could evoke reaction that could upset the harmony of the group, united work as planned. We have to realize, I think, and I think a lot of us have realized, that an attack can come upon us, and a diminishment of effectiveness through our strengths, and not only through our weaknesses. A strength can turn into a weakness if we hug it to ourselves too energetically and with personal pride. It's demanding, okay? And maybe we find out that how we could improve, that we cultivate a love which will ever seek to strengthen and to help. It is the opposite of the critical attitude, which is sometimes, maybe even often, released in the direction of our group brothers and sisters. And we recognize that we are not living to ourselves alone, but our abilities and the abilities of others within the group are supplementary to each other, complementary to each other, and are necessary for the balancing of the group as a working unit under spiritual impression. So we don't have to do everything. We don't have to be the best in the group. We can give it to others to represent certain qualities which we do not have, and just as we represent certain qualities which are more emphasized in our nature than in theirs. Now stop to think about that. Okay, now here is the right attitude. I mean, you'll notice that I pause for little reflections. If I'm overly tired, that reflection could turn into a moment of absentation, as Master Moria calls it. But the intention is to reflect even a little on what is just said. Yeah. This is the debate going on. The discovery of a weakness in a group brother should only produce the evocation of a deeper love. That's very necessary and not always the response, is it? Not always the response. Sometimes, as DK says, we venture forth to set our brothers straight, straighten them out, you know, because we know, and he doesn't. But of course, we are speaking here of the true brother, the true participant in group work, where there are times when Master DK simply had to say, well, you've reached your high water mark, and in the future plans that he had, he did not include such a brother because it would do him no good, the brother, that is. It would do the work no good. These are important attitudes. The discovery that you have made a mistake, if you have, in interpreting a brother, should only prompt you to a renewed vital effort to approach more closely to his soul. I wonder, do we see here the benevolence of the kind of approach that Master DK is asking of us? The revelation to you of a brother's strength going back for a moment, do we see our brother, our sister, our brother, our sister, as a soul? Or are we stopped at the personality point of view? That is a serious question, and I wonder if we really know how to see our brother or sister as a soul and be closer to his or her soul. These are all ideal responses and necessary responses to make group telepathic work successful. He goes on to say, the revelation to you of a brother's strength will indicate where you can look for help in any hour of your own need. Certainly, as is sometimes the case, the reaction of envy or jealousy cannot enter, because that would absolutely disrupt the group harmony and the facile distribution of energy throughout the group. Now, is this an injunction here? State frankly what you feel as you work month after month at this task of group rapport, deliberately tuning out criticism and substituting for it analysis, an analysis impersonally given. Well, this improves as we cultivate the correct attitude. Criticism, it's related to the third aspect, and there is a statement by the Tibetan which always has made an impression upon me. Criticism, that dire creator of misery, or is it a producer of misery? Now, it's well that we really ponder that, how criticism produces misery. Especially, I think, in the one who is criticized. In the letters written to the students, you don't see Master DK tearing down any student. You see him saying something like, let me help you analyze your problem for you, with you, without blame. That's the key. You want the individual with whom you are helping analyze a situation to see with clarity. So the analysis is impersonally given. He goes on to say, state truthfully what you sense and register. Your conclusions may be right or wrong, but a definite effort to comply and to recognize consciously the gained impression should aid the group blending without undue delay into an instrument of sensitive understanding. So when we if we are invited to do so, as a human being, of course, if we begin our analysis, we are to state truthfully what it is that we register. Without that debilitation or debilitating attitude of criticism, I suppose many people recognize the difference between being criticized and being offered analysis in a spirit of impersonality. And then DK goes on, if disciples cannot tune in on each other with ease after long periods of close relationship? How can they, as a group, tune in on some individual or some group of individuals unknown to them in their personalities? Well, that's a true and factual statement. Oftentimes, we have worked with people for a considerable time. I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't speak as clearly as I would like to. And somehow we should really begin to know each other in a loving way. And if we can't do that with each other, within a group whose members have been in long time association, how can we do the more difficult task of tuning in on those that we do not know within their personalities? So, unless such interplay is established fundamentally, and unless there is a close integration, there's that word, between the members who constitute the group, it will not be possible for constructively useful and spiritually oriented and controlled work to be properly carried forward and successfully accomplished. So again, you know, it seems once again that the factor of real love and harmony are essential. And one can just kind of tune in on that and say, well, I'm in a group. Maybe I am in a group even now, hovering on the periphery of Master DK's ashram. But all of us are certainly in some kind of group or another, because Master DK writes for those whose sense of spiritual values necessitates group work. And as I think about even my own relations with the groups in which I participate, I see room for improvement, no doubt. This is all part of the bridging work that can be carried forward as we cultivate that seed of telepathy, which is the seed of mastership, or masterhood, as he calls it. Okay. So it's either possible or not possible to work in a constructively useful and spiritually oriented and controlled manner. We can be successful if we grasp our opportunity to love, which is always there, with fresh enthusiasm. Okay, but DK gives us some encouragement. Difficult as this may initially seem, he says, but it is a task which you can accomplish if you will, and real application over a period of time should enable the group to work smoothly and well together. And then he references the three rules with an asterisk for beginners earlier given, embody the first steps leading to the attitude required in true hierarchical work. This is the objective of the accepted disciple. That's as we know. Is the third phase of discipleship. Now we've gone just a little ways, and we're on page 38, and maybe we can take a look at that. Take a look at that asterisk. Okay. Now let's see if this is something that I want to show you. Well, a treatise on white magic. Yes, I don't need to show you anything. It is from a treatise on white magic, page 320. Well, maybe as long as I have the opportunity, I seize the opportunity. Yes. Well, it's a good thing I did, because I had forgotten which rules we were talking about. But these are important rules. And what did DK just say? The three rules for beginners, earlier given, embody the first steps leading to the attitude required in true hierarchical work. And this is also, the Tibetan is saying, this is the objective of the accepted disciple. He really wants us to learn to think as a member of the hierarchy would think. So let's concentrate on these for a moment, and I assume that you see them. Now, in my video commentary, now completed as far as it can go, given my own limitations, I have discussed these three rules, but let's read them again and see if we conform to them. Number one, rule one, enter thy brother's heart and see his woe. Bitter woe, remember? Scorpio, the fixed cross, and bitter woe. Enter thy brother's heart and see his woe, then speak. Let the words spoken convey to him the potent strength or force he needs to loose his chains. Yet loose them not thyself. Thine is the work to speak with understanding, and I must say, detachment, impersonality, as much from the soul perspective as possible. So, repeating here what DK says, thine is the work to speak with understanding the force received by him will aid him in his work. Okay, that's the first preliminary rule. And, you know, there is this kind of interplay going on between what is conveyed in a treatise on white magic and what is conveyed in telepathy and the etheric vehicle. Rule two. Enter thy brother's mind and read his thoughts, but only when thy thoughts are pure. Now, may I add that this will require, if this is to be done, a disciple of some standing who really can discern his brother's thoughts. But once the thoughts are entered, then we can go on with DK. Then think. Let the thoughts thus created enter thy brother's mind and blend with his. Now, let me ask, does the brother know that you, the more advanced disciple, such as DK is in process of doing this telepathically? Well, maybe yes and maybe no, but often I think the awareness that you have telepathically entered the mind of a brother escapes that brother. So then think. Let the thoughts created enter thy brother's mind and blend with his. Yet, as the Tibetan goes on, keep detached thyself, for none have the right to sway a brother's mind. But that would mean, wouldn't it, to compel a brother to think in a certain way, to force the thought process of a brother, rather than letting the brother seize upon the thoughts created. With DK here, for none have the right to sway a brother's mind. The only right there is, says the Tibetan, will make him say, he loves, he standeth by, he knows, he thinks with me, and I am strong to do the right. Now, those are beautiful words, and are uttered either internally or externally by the one who does not feel forced to think in a certain way. He loves, he standeth by, he knows, he thinks with me, and I am strong to do the right. And then the injunction from the Tibetan, learn thus to speak, learn thus to think. So those two sentences relate to the first two rules. Then rule three, blend with thy brother's soul and know him as he is. I'd like to interpolate that only if we see a brother's soul or see him as a soul can we truly know who he is. An analysis of the personality of a brother will not convey to us who he truly is. So again, with DK, blend with thy brother's soul and know him as he is. So, with the Tibetan again, blend with thy brother's soul and know him as he is. Only upon the plane of soul can this be done. Remember that one. Dike goes on, elsewhere, the blending feeds the fuel of his lower life. If we try to blend with a brother's mind, blend with a brother's astral nature or etheric physical nature, DK is telling us, it feeds the fuel of the lower life. And then he closes with, thus will he see the part. Then focus on the plan. Together, from the perspective of the blended soul. Then focus on the plan, DK says. Thus will he see the part that he and you and all men play. Thus will he enter into life and know the work accomplished. Well, okay. And then, you know, to tell us how much following these particular preliminary rules lead to adeptship, he says, these three energies of speech, of thought, and of purpose, that's the last one, when wielded with understanding by the chela and blended with the awakening forces of his brother, whom he seeks to aid, are the three energies with which all adepts work. So, once again, here on page 320, another method of preparing to be an adept is suggested to us. Okay, well, I wanted to get the basis of what we were really doing and to have you see that. So here we are back again. Should be on page 320. Actually, this is page 38 of Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle. The three rules, he says, and for beginners, no matter how difficult they may initially seem to us, earlier given, and then we saw where they were given in a treatise on white magic on page 320, embody the first steps leading to the attitude required in true hierarchical work. And this let us remember as we move from accepting disciple to pledged disciple to accepted disciple. Let us remember this. This is the objective of the accepted disciple. Well, we have discussed this third stage of discipleship, which is accepted discipleship. And we can ask, is this our truly our objective? Okay, I'm not going to be able to finish this, so it will be a very short program. Before beginning the triangles work together, as a looks to me like a broadcast, I'll find out soon. So we're looking at 1, 2, and 3. Three injunctions. And the tuning in on each other with deepest love and understanding is the first. We can get an idea of what makes the Christ the Christ. And even Master DK, who is not yet of the status of the Christ, he has this amazing ability to tune in on his gathered chelas with the deepest love and understanding. Okay. Now the second injunction, I don't think we'll reach the third injunction. The second injunction to be carried forward steadily and slowly, must be to bring about a group love of such strength that nothing can break it, and no barriers arise between you. Well, in different ways, don't we recognize that this whole theme of group love is repeated? I guess it has to be repeated until it really, really sinks in. Okay, so that's bringing about a group love. And he goes on to cultivate a group sensitivity of such quality that your diagnosis, there's that medical term, right? That your diagnosis of conditions will be relatively accurate. He tells us that in the future, the rays of an individual, or, well, especially of the individual, but we could extend that idea, will be subject to expert diagnosis. Right now, the rays are subjected to well-intended estimations. What else? DK goes on. To develop and unfold a group ability to work as a unit, so that there will be nothing in the inner attitude of any of the group members which could break into the carefully established rhythm. I guess we have to watch ourselves very closely. Why is that? I mean, we may be the culprit that whose emission breaks the carefully established rhythm, and we may not even know it. For, says the Tibetan, it is quite possible for a member of the group to retard the work and to hold back the group because he is so engrossed with his own affairs or in his own ideas of self-development. Well, again, have we experienced this? Of course, we might be the one to blame. Have we experienced the holding back of the group because a group member is engrossed in his own ideas and his own attempt ambitiously, I guess, to develop himself. So maybe we have. And then, of course, the real task is to discover whether we are the one who is doing or responsible for this retardation, this holding back. DK has a little more to say about this particular injunction. When some members cease their activity, it does affect the inner group vibration. When others become slowed up by definite changes in their outer or inner lives, This requires a period of adjustment and oft of reorganization. Okay. So the story is, we do really have in this group telepathy and effect upon each other. And there's no justification for evading the responsibility or trying to convince ourselves that, say, it's only why, how is that affecting others? It's a bit like what's going on today with the vaccines. We know that it's not just a question of personal freedom in the choice of whether or not there will be a vaccine, and the taking of a vaccine. It is the effect upon others as well. So our relationship vis-a-vis the group has to be carefully and responsibly assessed. These changes, says the Tibetan, being externalized, can produce powerful psychological changes and upset the rhythm of the soul's endeavor. I guess we could say that no group worker lives unto himself alone. A tried and experienced disciple will not let such a change upset his inner rhythm. But a less experienced disciple needs real soul watchfulness to the danger of sidetracking the life interest from spiritual purposes to personality attentions and interests. I know I personally have fallen into this trap. When I first worked at the Arcane School, and I was, maybe we could say, overstimulated by the possibilities that I sensed around me. And I was doing all kinds of research in the secret doctrine about the sin of the mindless and the anthropoid apes and their relationship to present-day humanity and whether they were individualized or not. Well, very interesting things, but off the mark of what the group was attempting to do. And I had Mary Bailey remind me about this in no uncertain terms. She had a first-rate soul, but a second-rate personality, and it was there so she could deliver her first-ray methods in a manner assimilable by others without being too harsh. So that's all the time I can afford right now. And we'll get into the third injunction before long. And the program 13 is ended. And we're dealing with pretty much the 27th of October. And we're starting, well, it was page 37 we started at, and then we got as far as page 39, creeping along, you know. But somehow all of this material does sink in. And we will find that gradually it's making a big difference in our lives and in our understanding about how to be successful in a spiritual group telepathy. I guess he hasn't dealt with the dangers quite yet. So our next program will be program 14, Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, video commentary. Will it be later today? I don't know. And we'll be beginning on page 39. Okay. Okay, friends, so now on to another type of broadcast, and we will see how we do. And wishing you the ability to absorb all of this as best you can. So here is our signing off, and then we'll get to the other program. Thank you for your attendance, and all of us in the communications team wish you a deepening understanding and an ever more effective application. We'll see you soon.